Bohr vividly remembered the encounter. Oppenheimer had looked uncommonly youthful, and after he left the room, Rutherford had turned to Bohr and remarked that he had high expectations for the young man. Years later, Robert reflected that Bohr's question, "Are the problems mathematical or physical?" was a very good one. "I thought it put a rather useful glare on the extent to which I became embroiled in formal questions without stepping back to see what they really had to do with the physics of the problem." Later he realized that some physicists rely almost exclusively on mathematical language to describe the reality of nature. Any verbal description is only a concession to intelligibility. It's only pedagogical. I think this is largely true of Paul Dirac. I think that his invention is never initially verbal, but initially algebraic. By contrast, he realized that a physicist like Bohr regarded mathematics as Dirac regards words, namely, as a way to make himself intelligible to other people. So there's a very wide spectrum. At Cambridge, I was simply learning and hadn't learned very much. By temperament and talent, Robert was very much a verbal physicist in the style of Bohr. Late that spring, Cambridge organized a week-long visit to the University of Leiden for American physics students. Oppenheimer went on the trip and met a number of German physicists. "It was wonderful," he recalled, "and I realized then that some of the troubles of the winter had been exacerbated by the English customs." Upon his return to Cambridge, he met another German physicist, Max Born, director of the Institute of Theoretical Physics at the University of Göttingen. Born was intrigued by Oppenheimer, partly because the 22-year-old American was grappling with some of the same theoretical problems raised in the recent papers by Heisenberg and Schrödinger. "Oppenheimer seemed to me," Born said, "right from the beginning, a very gifted man." By the end of that spring, Oppenheimer had accepted an invitation from Born to study at Göttingen. Cambridge had been a disastrous year for Robert. He had narrowly escaped expulsion over the poison apple incident. For the first time in his life, he had found himself incapable of excelling intellectually, and his closest friends had witnessed more than one episode of emotional instability. But he had overcome a winter of depression and was now ready to explore an entirely new field of intellectual endeavor. "When I got to Cambridge," Robert said, "I was faced with the problem of looking at a question to which no one knew the answer, but I wasn't willing to face it. When I left Cambridge, I didn't know how to face it very well, but I understood that this was my job. This was the change that occurred that year." Robert later recalled that he still had very great misgivings about myself on all fronts, but I clearly was going to do theoretical physics if I could. I felt completely relieved of the responsibility to go back into a laboratory. I hadn't been good. I hadn't done anybody any good, and I hadn't had any fun whatever, and here was something I felt just driven to try.